From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Authentic and John Velasquez have the lead as they come down to the 16th ball. Tis the Law still trying to get him. Authentic, Tis the Law, here's the buyer. Authentic has won the Kentucky Derby.
Coming to the 8th pole in the Toyota Bluegrass, Swiss Skydiver fighting on. Art Collector is right there. Art Collector ahead in front, a half length to the good, 16th pole. Art Collector, Brian Hernandez Jr. to win the Toyota Bluegrass.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
It is Tis the Law in front with 3/16 to the finish. Tis the Law has a four-length lead. He's left the others behind. It's Tis the Law. He won the Belmont Stakes. He's going to win the Run Happy Travers.
See, there's the Devil. Strikes the front of the eighth pole. Swiss Skydiver's trying hard, but she's still second. Not today for Gamine. It is she. There's the Devil. Turning back Swiss Skydiver, Gamine, and all the rest. She, there's the Devil. Scores in the Oaks.
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Hello again, everyone. Good morning and welcome to the show that launched this network. It is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, back with you this morning across North America on Sirius 219, XM 201, on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and coming to you digitally with our live streaming or podcast of the show on our website at horseracingradio.net. Bit of a chilly start to this Saturday morning here in the Bluegrass. Temperatures hovering right around 43 degrees at the moment at 8 a.m. Eastern. It is a cool start, and it with that feeling of fall in the air, which, by the way, officially begins early next week, it makes you think of the Breeders' Cup. The Breeders' Cup coming to Keeneland November 6th and 7th, 47 days, 16 hours, 57 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup World Championships. We're only 14 days away from the Preakness Stakes in Baltimore, Maryland. Of course, we are going to have exclusive radio coverage of both of those events for you right here on HRRN. You can head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, to see a complete Preakness and Breeders' Cup Week broadcast schedule. Speaking of Preakness, we'll get to Breeders' Cup here in a minute. But speaking of Preakness, several Preakness hopefuls working this morning at Churchill Downs. Art Collector was on the track a short time ago, worked 5 furlongs, 59.40. He seems to be in good form, at least in his morning work, after missing the Kentucky Derby. Thousand Words, the horse that flipped in the paddock right before the Kentucky Derby, 5 furlongs, 102.40. And Authentic, the Derby winner, is set to go to the track at 9 o'clock Eastern for Bob Baffert this morning. So we'll get a chance to see him and see how he prepares in that final work for the Preakness Stakes. Tis the Law, beaten favorite in the Derby. Of course, the horse everybody had their eye on coming into the Run for the Roses, will work early to mid next week, according to owner Jack Knowlton, after conversing with trainer Barkley Tagg. He'll work early to mid next week. A decision will be made on the Preakness after that workout. So that catches you up on all the Preakness news as we have it so far, right up to date. In terms of Breeders' Cup, all eyes, no doubt, will be focused on our friends north of the border at Woodbine. This entire weekend, you have 3 Breeders' Cup Challenge races that are going to take place over the course of the next 2 days. You have the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile today, post time 5:39 Eastern. That's a win in your end for the Breeders' Cup Mile. You have the Natalma Stakes and the Summer Stakes tomorrow. The Natalma, a win and you're in for the Juvenile Fillies Turf. The Summer, a win and you're in for the Juvenile Turf Division. I'm going to talk to Woodbine handicapper Jeff Bratt coming up at 9:40 Eastern. He'll preview all of the stakes action coming up at Woodbine. Can't wait to catch up with him and talk some win and you're in action. The Grade 1 Belmont Oaks Invitational is also today. That is not a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup, but wouldn't be surprised to see one or two of these fillies go on to the Breeders' Cup. It's a short field of 5. They're 3-year-old fillies. They're going to go a mile and a quarter. And because of the short field, it's going to be early. Keep that in mind. The Belmont Oaks Invitational, Race 5, 3:04 Eastern is the post. Magic Attitude makes her U.S. debut with trainer Arno Delacour and figures to vie for favoritism in that race with the Bill Mott-trained Antoinette. That should be a great showdown. And Arnaud Delacour is going to be here 9:20 Eastern time, second half of the program, to talk about Magic Attitude and what he does with a horse that he gets into his care for the very first time, coming up to a grade one race. How do you do that? Well, we'll talk to Arnaud later in the program. I'm going to start the show, though, by looking ahead to the Churchill Downs September meet, which opened on Thursday. It runs through September 27th, the short meet leading into the Keeneland meet, which will open on Friday, October 2nd. I'll talk with Assistant Racing Secretary and Stakes Coordinator Dan Bork at 8:15 this morning after this first commercial break. I'll get a chance to talk to Dan and look ahead to everything happening at Churchill Downs over the next couple of weeks. 8:35, I'm going to welcome in a very popular and extremely well-known guest for what may be one of his final appearances on the show. This dates back to when I first started on radio nearly 20 years ago. That's the Godfather, Tony Atiano, from the Lexus store of Lexington. And I say that it may be one of his final appearances on the show because he has officially retired from the Lexus store. And he's going to look back on so many of the great horse people that he's had the opportunity to get to know during his decades of work at Lexus. The Godfather moniker that we bestowed upon Tony many, many years ago has stuck with him. And so many of our listeners have told me that they have gone to the Lexus store of Lexington and asked for the Godfather. We just want to meet the Godfather. And that's pretty cool. So I'll get a chance to talk to Tony, 8:35 Eastern time. And finally, you may have read the news about the fire that consumed and pretty much gutted the grandstand at shuttered Green Mountain Park in Pownall, Vermont, this past Wednesday. That fire took place 44 years, almost to the day, after the final thoroughbred race was contested at the track September 12th of 1976. You remember that that track then hosted Greyhound racing after the thoroughbreds were done. They continued on with Greyhound racing until the early 1990s, but they've remained vacant since that time. I've driven by it on many occasions, being from that part of the country, going back home. I grew up 27 miles south of Pownall, Vermont, in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. So I remember Green Mountain very, very well. Of course, as I was growing up, it was pretty much all Greyhounds. But you ask me, why is that a story, Baron? Why are we talking about that? The track hasn't been open since the 1990s, early 90s. And they haven't had thoroughbred since 1976. Well, over the nearly 20 years that I have been broadcasting horse racing on radio, I have met so many people who have spent time at tracks in that part of the country, including Green Mountain. You had the Fair Circuit in Massachusetts that was booming at one point. You also had Rockingham Park in southern New Hampshire. And if you recall, Lou Smith, who was the owner of Rockingham Park, founded Green Mountain and then started racing thoroughbreds there in 1963. And for those of you who have never had the chance to see Green Mountain Park, in its day, it was one of the most pristine racing venues that we had in the sport. Kind of nestled in those hills of Vermont, mountains of Vermont. It was special. In 1968, Green Mountain became the first racetrack on the East Coast to host Sunday racing. And then in 1973, 4 years after Lou Smith had passed away, the Rooney family of Pittsburgh Steelers fame bought the track, which soon became the first track in the country to host thoroughbred, standardbred, and greyhound racing. It has its place in thoroughbred racing history. And at 9 o'clock Eastern, I'm going to visit with Michael Blowen, the founder of Old Friends, to look back on Green Mountain, share some of his memories. He was there a lot when racing was taking place. And he always has some amazing stories. So I'm looking forward to that visit at 9 o'clock Eastern time this morning. So Here's the guest lineup. Dan Bork, 8:15 after our first break. He'll talk about Churchill Downs. You have the Godfather, Tony Atiano, from the Lexus store. Michael Blowen from Old Friends, looking back on Green Mountain at 9 o'clock. Arno Delacour, looking ahead to the Belmont Oaks Invitational. And Jeff Bratt from Woodbine at 9:40 Eastern time to take a look at the big races north of the border coming up this weekend. All the win in your in action. And in between all of that, our industry star of the week presented by Stuart Morris. We have our visit with Four Roses Bourbon and the folks there, Brent Elliott, the master distiller. You'll hear from him talking about the small batch select that they produce at Four Roses. So all of that coming up. But this is also National Talk Like a Pirate Day. And for those of you who celebrate these types of days, I thought it would be fun to wind back the clock to June 13th, 2012, because nobody in the sport of thoroughbred racing could talk like a pirate like the incomparable Tom Durkin.
And on the far outside, here comes... Arrgh! Top of the stretch coming into the final furlong now. In between horses, Crafty CJ with the narrow lead. Arr continues to fight on the outside. It's good to be King and Blazing Buddha. And then farther back, Little Wise Guy. They're coming down to the finish. And it's Arr! 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 Little Wise Guy was second and Blazing Buddha was third.
Maybe the best part of that call, forget about the R's, they were spectacular, but the way he paused after R crossed the finish line and then just took it back normally to the other horses that were second and third. Only Tom Durkin could pull that off. And as I was getting ready for the show and I realized it was National Talk Like a Pirate Day, I said, I have to pull up that call. Tom Durkin, June 13th, 2012, one of the great... fun Tom Durkin calls of all time, no doubt about it. So that leads me to the poll question before I get to this first commercial break. What is your favorite national day to celebrate? I'll give you a few choices. These are my, here you go. Here are three of the ones I like. You have Talk Like a Pirate Day, Burger Day, who doesn't like Burger Day? And my choice in here, Red Wine Day. Those are the three. And then, of course, the fourth category is other. Go to our Twitter feed, at HRN. Cast your vote now, and I'll update the poll question. What is your favorite national day to celebrate? Talk Like a Pirate Day, Burger Day, Red Wine Day, or other? And if you choose other, let me know. Let me know what other day you like to celebrate. It seems like we have a day for everything now. So let's have a little fun with that poll question this morning. When I come back, Dan Bork, Assistant Racing Secretary and Stakes Coordinator at Churchill Downs, looks ahead to the September meet. That's next on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
Discover the thrill of affordable race ownership with My Racehorse. My Racehorse features multiple horses at tracks coast to coast trained by top trainers like Todd Pletcher, Bob Baffert, Steve Asmussen, and Linda Rice. My Racehorse provides you with exclusive owner updates, and all earnings are paid directly to your online account. Get started now for as little as $65 at MyRacehorse.com and the free MyRacehorse.com app. My Racehorse is offering securities only through the use of an offering circular for this part of the offering statement qualified by the Securities and Exchange Commission under Tier 2 of Regulation A. A copy of the offering circular may be obtained at MyRacehorse.com.
They're in the gate at Churchill Downs. And they're off.
Churchill Downs September meet is underway with post time each day at 12:45 p.m. now through Sunday, September 27th. A total of over $4.2 million in prize money will be offered over the nine-day race meet. And don't forget the $100,000 Grade 3 ACAC set for Saturday, September 26th. Don't miss the action. For more information, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
Hi, this is Joe Nicholson. During these difficult times, the team at Nicholson Insurance Agency sends best wishes to all for good health. We can all look forward to better times ahead when this pandemic is behind us. But in the meantime, we need to stay safe. Although the staff at Nicholson Insurance is working from home, Phone calls into the office are forwarded so that service remains intact. Customer service professionals continue to be ready, willing, and able to help you with your insurance needs, whether it be equine, farm, home, auto, business, or life. Several of Nicholson Insurance Agency's companies are returning portions of auto premiums because of reduced travel during the isolation period, which I think is the right thing to do. Please call 859-224-7080, Nicholson Insurance Agency. Thank you.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But Tapiture looms on the outside, and here comes Tapiture now, putting in a bid, up into second, about to take the lead. Viva Mallorca's coming on from third, and Ben's Legacy comes up on the far outside in fourth, top of the stretch now, and Tapiture's in front, Hat of Jax is hanging tough toward the rail. Viva Mallorca's trying to get by, shifting outside, a length to make up on Tapiture, one furlong left. Here comes Viva Mallorca trying to run down Tapiture. Tapiture digs down deep toward the rail. Viva Mallorca's been trying to get by Tapiture. Rope back down, and Tapiture did it. Tapiture the winner. Viva Mallorca was second. Hat of Jax was third. And Midnight Trouble was fourth.
That's Travis Stone with the call of the 2015 running of the ACK-ACK Stakes. Tapiture getting the victory for Hall of Fame trainer Steve Asmussen, who, by the way, is also the all-time leading trainer at Churchill Downs. He earned that title earlier over the summer. And he will no doubt be pointing for this year's ACK-ACK, I'm sure, with somebody from that unbelievable barn that he has. The September meet is in full swing. It kicked off on Thursday and will run through next Sunday. The ACK-ACK will be run next Saturday. That is the lone remaining stakes race that Churchill has on the docket for the September meet. And then we'll segue into Keeneland and then, of course, right back to Churchill Downs in November. And I'm joined now by Assistant Racing Secretary and Stakes Coordinator Dan Bork at Churchill Downs. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
I'm good, my friend. It's a bit chilly here in the Bluegrass, but the horses like it. I saw several Preakness hopefuls on the track this morning at Churchill.
Yeah, I think we're getting ready to watch the Derby winner head out here in a few minutes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, you know, let's start there for a minute, Dan, and just share your thoughts on what we saw on Derby Day. It was, look, I mean, everything is different this year, and it was challenging in some respects, but, you know, Churchill put everything together, pulled it off beautifully, and I think in terms of the wagering and what we saw with the racing action and that card, things came together pretty damn well.
Yeah, there's no question it came together very well, all things considered, with, you know, what's been going on in racing this year with COVID and all that. I just think it turned out to be some great races with all things considered, and I think the horsemen, you know, stepped up and supported it, and you know, it's not ideal, it's not what we wanted to do, but it, in the end, it, you know, it looked like it's turned out pretty good.
Yeah, we're still racing, we're still in business, we're still giving out purse money. All of those things are very positive, even if we can't have fans in attendance yet and have that handle on track and all those types of things that go along with it. At least we're still in business, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'll tell you one thing. It was very odd being here on a Derby Day in September, and then obviously no one here standing in the paddock or standing out on the rail, you know, the rail watching the Derby, and I look up in the stands and there's nobody. It wasn't pleasant, but it was the other side. At least we were doing it, like you said, and people were watching at home, and we're still running and giving out great purse money and you know, doing the thing we like to do.
Yeah, the purse money here in the September meet, albeit a very short meet that only runs, as I mentioned, through next Sunday, September 27th, the purse money is rock solid. You have maiden special weight races going for, what, $75,000 purses, and then the allowance races are strong too.
Yeah, we're averaging, you know, post Derby, over $450,000 a day. So, somewhere in the range of $4.5 million, we're going to give away post Derby. Obviously, pre-Derby, we stepped it up a little bit when added the big stake schedule, 18 stake races, and you know, almost $10 million in purses or stake purses alone. So we did ramp up the Derby week, and we have the one lone stake left, the ACK, which will hopefully be a good prep for the Breeders' Cup Mile, and see who comes out of that, the winner is going to. So we got a lot to look forward to the rest of this meet, and then obviously coming up till November and Breeders' Cup. So I think the Bluegrass is going to be a good place to be here for the next few months.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Look, the September meet is a little bit of a quieter meet, especially this year, coming on the heels of the Derby, which was rescheduled for early September, and then, you know, looking ahead to Keeneland, and then up the road in November, as you just mentioned too, Dan. When you're approaching a meet like this, especially in this year with all the conditions that we're facing, how do you have to change your approach in the racing office, and when you're hustling horses into the ACK, when you're trying to get horses into the races day in and day out? Is it a different challenge that you're facing this year?
Well, for sure, this year, with the way the September meet fell, I mean, the September thing's still fairly new here, so that's, and it's been going well. It's been getting stronger and stronger every year. This year, it's been a little different, you know, with COVID, and then the dates moving around with Derby week, and, you know, Ellis giving up Derby that Labor Day weekend, and then obviously you got Kentucky Downs in the mix too. So they're coming off a great meet there. So I think just a lot of people all in all have been focusing on Kentucky. So it's all turning out to be good. I mean, the main goal is we get a lot of horses here. We got people looking at Kentucky, and, you know, that's what we're trying to do. So it's working, and that's hopefully we'll build on that and keep going strong for next year.
Yeah, you heard me welcome you into the show here today with that call of the 2015 ACK Tapiture winning for Steve Asmussen. He's tied with Barbie Barnett, Bill Mott, and Paul McGee with two wins in that race. Is he planning to saddle anything in this year's ACK, do you know?
That's a good question. He's got several nominated. He's got Bankett. He's got Sonneman. He's got a few. I'm not sure exactly which one he's going to be running yet, but I'm planning on him having something in there. And I think it's going to be a really great race. Ian Wilkes' Bourbon Calling. I think Brad's planning on running Warrior's Charge. You got Mr. Money, Mosito Rojo. I think he won last year's ACK, or maybe it was the Lucas Classic. I think he won last year, so he'll be back.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's going to be a great, great race.
Yeah, you know, the timing of that race is interesting, too. It kind of it fits. If you're right before all the big Breeders' Cup prep races coming up at Keeneland and Belmont and around the country the following weekend. But for those who are thinking, okay, we don't want to take on the big boys necessarily yet, this is a perfect spot for them. And, you know, looking ahead to the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, as you said, this is a great prep race for that. I think if you're looking for a spot to run your horse to prep for that particular race in the Breeders' Cup, it just fits perfectly, doesn't it?
Yeah, and that's what it's there for. It's not a grade one. It's not a grade two. It's a solid grade three. And, you know, that's the caliber of horses we get in there. And there may be somebody that jumps up and stands out and then obviously looks forward to going to the Breeders' Cup. So it's served well the last few years as that. And, you know, this year, normally we run the Lucas Classic the same time, you know, the Mile and Eighth. But this year we didn't. We just left it with the ACK. And obviously we ran the Ali Sheba last weekend, so, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you look at the names of some of the horses that have won the ACK in recent years. There's some pretty big names. You have Seeking the Soul, Tom's Ready.
Yep.
I mentioned Tapiture. Pants on Fire won the race in 2013. There have been some really good horses that come through that race.
Yeah, and I would expect the same this year as well. So, like I said, we've got 39 horses nominated to it, and I'm hoping we get a full field in there, and it looks like we will.
Yeah, the ACK again next Saturday, racing wrapping up on Sunday at Churchill for the September meet. Dan, just take a quick second here before I let you go, and look ahead to the November meet. Just some of the stakes that we'll see there. I know the Clark is obviously the big one, but that's a huge day of racing too. There's a lot of big stakes races coming up at Churchill in November.
Oh, for sure. I mean, in November we've got the you know, the River City, the Grade 3, the Cardinal, the Fall City. Obviously, the two-year-old weekend, the Falls or the Stars of Tomorrow with the Jockey Club and the Goldenrod towards the end of the meet. And then, of course, the Grade 1 Clark. And we'll be putting that stake schedule out here probably today. We're just finalizing that. And we should have our condition book out here soon for that, too. So, yeah, the November meet, another one looking forward to that, too. So.
It will be very nice to have a normal meet in terms of the dates too, won't it?
Yeah, besides the Breeders' Cup, we're back and forth there for 1 week.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little odd with the dates. We start here on the 25th, and then 28th we finish, and then go to the Keeneland. Or I'm sorry, the 5th we finish, and then we run Keeneland Breeders' Cup weekend 6th and 7th, and then back here to finish out the rest of November.
Does that help when the Breeders' Cup is in Kentucky, whether it's at Churchill or Keeneland, that horses, after they run in the Breeders' Cup, will stick around and stay in state so they don't have to travel back and forth, especially this year with all of the COVID concerns? They can stay here, and then they can run at Churchill in November. It just seems tailor-made, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's our idea, is to try to get a couple of horses up from the Breeders' Cup to, you know, point towards the Clark towards the end of the meet. And, you know, the Fall City as well. So it's a little short, but if we keep them here, there's at least they're closer here than it would be if they were running somewhere else. So it does make it easier.
Talking with Dan Bork, the Assistant Racing Secretary and Stakes Coordinator at Churchill Downs. Dan, our poll question this morning, I'm going to put you on the spot. It is National Talk Like a Pirate Day. So I asked people, what is your favorite national day to celebrate? And here's a few choices. Talk Like a Pirate Day, Burger Day, Red Wine Day, or Other. So if you had to pick your favorite national day to celebrate, what's Dan Bork going to pick?
Well, I have to go Burger Day. That's a no-brainer.
Yeah, who doesn't like Burger Day, right? I guess Pizza Day would be a good one, too.
Pizza, all right, we'll take that. Actually, you know... Well, it's a little early for wine day, but I will maybe take that too. Burger and wine?
Yeah, there you go. We'll take. I should have put that on there. Burger and wine. Yeah, we can combine the two.
Yeah.
They go well together.
Yeah, and I throw a beer in there too. We can go all day with this.
Yeah, this could be fun. Dan Bork with me here on HRN. Dan, listen, appreciate it, my friend, and enjoy the September meet. I'll look forward to hopefully getting a chance to see you in person at Keeneland.
Yeah, come on over.
All right, bud.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, Dan Bork here on HR. Yeah, why not? Burger Day and Red Wine Day together. I don't know if I've ever seen them mixed together, but hey, why not? That'd be a Pizza Day and Red Wine Day. Anything but, say, like chicken, right? Or maybe fish. Anything other than that with red wine. And I know people that have red wine with anything. It doesn't really matter. But, yeah, good stuff from Dan Bork. And that meet, again, running through next Sunday. My wife actually pointed out during that last commercial break, my beautiful wife, Michelle, that because it's National Talk Like a Pirate Day, I should refer to HRRN and do it in that fashion throughout the entire show. But yeah, maybe. We'll see. It is time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday by the Lexus store of Lexington. When I come back, I will visit with the godfather, Tony Attiano, from the Lexus store. That's next, right after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
Nine horses answered the call to post in early May of 1957 for the running of the singular most famous race in America, the Kentucky Derby. The drama had unfolded in part in the early morning hours on that Saturday on Churchill's backstretch at 7 in the morning when Calumet Farms' General Duke stood blanketed in the aisle of Barn 15 while veterinarian Alex Harthill and trainer Jimmy Jones lifted his left foreleg to examine an area which had been the subject of speculation and concern since he'd come back from a second-place finish to Federal Hill in the Derby trial the previous Tuesday a little bit sore. The final call was up to Jones, and even though it was only a bruise, it was pretty sore. General Duke had blown out a quarter in 24 that morning and had shown nothing untoward in his movement in that outing, but he limped ever so slightly while being cooled out. By 10 in the morning, the decision was made and General Duke would not go postward this day in the run for the Roses. In the field were Bold Ruler, Indian Creek, Gallant Man, Federal Hill, Better Be, Shanpack, Round Table, Iron Liege, and Mr. Jive. It was a chilly day in the River City of Louisville, the temperature hovering in the 40s, and that gave cause to the holding down of both the crowd and the mutual handle. Bold Ruler was a 6-5 post-time favorite, with both Gallant Man and Round Table highly regarded as challengers. With General Duke out of the race, the other half of the Calumet entry, Iron Liege, was far less regarded and was 8-1 at post-time. Starter Jim Thompson got the field away to an excellent start. Federal Hill, trying to give Louisville its first hometown win since Old Rosebud in 1914, quickly stepped to the front as expected. Down the long straight and on beneath the hallowed twin spires past the stands for the first time, it was Federal Hill, Bold Ruler, Iron Liege, and Round Table in that order. On around the turn, they maintained the same positions with the first hop going in 47 flat. Down the backside, both the front-running Federal Hill and Bold Ruler drifted out a little bit. That left just enough room down along the fence to let the wily Bill Hartack send Iron Liege along to within a hop length of the lead. The first six panels had been covered in 111-2. As they approached the far turn, Federal Hill slanted back in toward the rail, and Hartack, fearing he would be shut off, took up a little bit and decided to go on around the front runner. It was Federal Hill by three parts of a length, Iron Liege and Bold Ruler, as they hit the top of the stretch. Hartack had utilized another ploy of a crafty reinsman by using both Federal Hill and Bold Ruler as a windbreak for part of the run down the backstretch, and there was a stiff breeze blowing down the backside, and in so doing, he had saved as much of his horse as he possibly could. Midway through the far turn, Hartack turned his mount up a notch, and it brought him up abreast of Federal Hill as the two matched strides on down to the 3/16 pole. Iron Liege gained bit by bit and in a half a length lead at the 8th pole, but Bill Shoemaker had Gallant Man going full throttle, and he was eating up ground with every stride on the outside. He was now only a half length behind Federal Hill and a length behind the leader, Iron Liege. He had been 7th after a hop, some 13 lengths out of it. He had close to 5th, just 5 off the leader, Federal Hill, at the quarter pole, and was picking him up and laying him down, passing his horses. Just inside the 8th pole, he passed Federal Hill and took dead aim at Iron Liege, with Round Table now 3rd. At the 16th pole, Gallant Man had shoved his nose in front of Iron Liege and appeared to be an absolutely certain winner. Wait just 1 minute. Shoemaker stood up in the irons, mistaking the finish line. That momentary lapse cost him the victory by a long nose as he recovered to get back in full stride too late. Iron Liege, the Calumet second stringer, with Hartack notching the first of his eventual 6 Derby scores and Calumet racking up its 6th Derby winner, had upset the dope. It was memorable for a couple of reasons. First of all, the absence of General Duke, and, more importantly, the miscalculation of Shoemaker, who stood up a 16th too soon. In May 1957, in the Kentucky Derby, a most memorable moment in thoroughbred racing, and in its own way, a great moment in racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
The 2020 yearling consignments of Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud are loaded with graded stakes prospects once again. Their consignments at Fasig, Tipton, and Keeneland September include half-siblings to current graded stakes horses Bell's the One, Dean Martini, and Indian Pride, as well as full sisters to Grade 1 winner Street Band and recent Saratoga Stakes winners Speak to Me of Summer and Kariba. Brereton C. Jones's carefully developed female families are brimming with exciting updates. Airdrie Studs yearlings are raised for the racetrack. Think about it.
The 2020 Thoroughbred Owner Conference is being offered virtually November 3rd and 4th. We are committed to providing the Owner Conference in as safe and healthy an environment as possible. Experience 9 panels with expert speakers, moderators, and a keynote address. Ask questions of speakers from your home, office, or anywhere you are. Visit ownerview.com to register and be part of this important event while staying safe, healthy, and comfortable. Wherever you are, we'll be there. Visit ownerview.com today.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, that music bed can mean only one thing. The Godfather, Tony Attiano, from the Lexus store of Lexington, joining me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back, everybody. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, the Godfather, ladies and gentlemen, for what may be one of his final appearances here on the Equine Forum. Tony, this relationship goes back about 20 years now to when I first started on radio. We walked in to the Lexus store of Lexington, myself and my late mentor, Pete Kulis. We sat down with you in the office at the former location of the Lexus store, which was on Nicholasville Road, and right away we hit it off. We spent more than an hour talking about horse racing, and it's been a relationship
that has been unbelievable. Day, I have to tell you, this is called talk like a New York Italian at Belmont, right? So you want to hear how New York Italians talk at Belmont, and they're walking around, they're looking at a horse, they're looking at the beautiful women. And all of a sudden you hear something like this, you know, hey, Marone, can you forget about that piece? That's New York.
Let me tell you, Tony, I mentioned this at the top of the show. Let me reiterate. You have just announced your official retirement from the Lexus store of Lexington, and you did that
right
at the end of August.
It was the end of August, last day.
How long were you there?
19 years.
I said it was nearly two decades, so I was about right. So when I walked into your office, you had just
started. 19 years, and I figured, well, listen, I just turned 80. You know, I don't know if I'm going to make 81, but I feel pretty good. Let's see what happens. But the way the world is going right now, I got to tell you, I think I'll be talking Italian pretty soon.
Well, you know, there are so many unbelievable people in the horse business, and so many people that have come up to me over the years, over these past 20 years now, and said, hey, listen, I have to go meet the Godfather. Can you put me in touch with the Godfather at Lexus? And how many times did people walk through the doors there and say, can I talk to the Godfather?
Oh, just especially when it first started. And, you know, my poor receptionist, she'd look at me and she'd, Tony, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, what is the lady just called and came in, and she said, I have to speak to the Godfather. I said, so what's wrong with that? She goes, who's the Godfather? I said, you're talking to the Godfather right here. Where is she? Point her out.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how it went. I mean, it was hysterical. But the people here in this town, I mean, I love Lexington, Kentucky. And, you know, I love the people in the horse business. I mean, you just find a different breed of human being. And people that either work in the business or people that go to the tracks on a regular basis, there's something mystical about the racetrack and the farms. There's something mystical about it because you're working with the horse, and the horse can communicate with you. They really and truly can. And I know a lot of people who don't know the business or don't know livestock. They think I'm going crazy. Well, they're two-thirds crazy, but they really do. You know, when they see you come in the morning and you might have a little piece of an apple for them or something, they love you. I mean, they start talking to you. Sounds crazy, right?
Yeah, well, you know, and people will remember that we have talked about this on the show many times, Godfather, that you know, you're a horse person first and foremost.
Oh, yeah.
And so many of the people at the Lexus store. It's still to this day. I mean, there are people that support horse racing. I talked about the Keeneland shop at the Lexus store, the Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland that Lexus sponsors every fall.
Right.
You know, it's something that it's passionate to you at a deeper level than just trying to sell cars.
Well, Mikey is probably the closest, and he's no longer with us. But other than that, there's not too many people. You know, again, it's an interesting industry. It really is. They love the people. They love the horsemen and the horse people that come in because they're easy to deal with. You know, they don't want to be wined and dined and whatever. But that's what we do. We wine and dine people. Okay. And I mean, it's just like you're not in a claiming race when you come into the Lexus store. You're in a stakes race. So, and it's the Lexus Raven Run Stakes.
Yep.
And putting that together with Nick Nicholson was one of the great thrills of my life. It really and truly was. And I just love it. I love the people. I love the animal. You know, so many people say, well, you're going to lose money. You lose money doing anything. You could have a chance of winning money, too. And start thinking like a winner, not thinking like a loser.
Yep. But you know, you had some horses in your day that were pretty darn good, too. I mean, you know, not like grade one level, but you had some really nice horses, and you battled through some adversity, and the game
but
has
look,
just been so
where
good
would I
to
have
you,
met guys like you and Coolis? I mean, you guys were a class act the first time I laid my eyes on you. I mean, Coolis was unbelievable. You know him. I mean, God rest his soul. His stories were unbelievable. Whenever we talk about New York, he would talk about Kew Gardens. Now, for people who don't know much about New York, Kew Gardens was where all the great-looking stewardesses always had a you know, that's where they had they bedded down for the night. You know, they had rooms
there. The layovers.
So, you know, when he first told me about Kew Gardens, I said, and great bars. So you had, and in those days, a stewardess was like a showgirl. I mean, they were beautiful. They were absolutely beautiful, and that has sort of slipped, you know, right now. But
well, you know,
they're nice
people.
Don't get me wrong.
One thing, Godfather, that you and I talked about all the time, and every time I come in to see you at the Lexus store for a visitor, was you'd tell me about the people that you had the chance to meet. People like, for example, Ken Ramsey, right, who would come in, and he was a Lexus owner. Chris McCarron, right, also came in. I remember talking to Chris, and he would come in and see you. Tell me about some of those people that came into the Lexus store that you had the chance to get to know in the horse business.
Oh, we had so many guys. I mean, because, you know, it was interesting. When I first started with them, I spoke to, at that time was, not Nick Nicholson, Ron McCauley was with us. And I said to him, you know, so how do you guys do with the horse people, the people on the track and the farms? And he said, well, we really don't do anything with them at all. So why? I said, you know, this is the horse capital of the world. I mean, he said, well, what do you want to do? I said, let me take a car out and go visit some of the farms and, you know, one day here, one day there, go to the track in the morning. And, you know, I catered to the horsemen. I mean, it's a tough way of making a living, folks. It really and truly is. And I appreciate their effort because it's not an eight-hour-a-day job. If you're a trainer or a groom or you work on a farm, it's however long it's going to take. That's what it is. And you better make sure, because these animals are worth a lot of money, and you have a lot of very, very well-to-do people that have invested heavily into these animals. So you take care of that.
Yeah.
And then we started getting people in, and it was great. So I became known as, if you had any questions about horses, call that guy Tony up over at Lexus. But I don't think he's going to give you a customer or anything. Why would anybody go with an inferior product? I mean, you're trying to buy or develop the best racehorse in the world. Well, I'm giving you an opportunity to drive the best car in the world. That simple.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, Mike, you're driving one, and you know, and you've been in one for years. You and that beautiful wife of yours.
It's spectacular, and I, you know, you and I have had this conversation. I've talked about Lexus on the show for many, many years.
Oh, yeah.
I hope to continue to talk about Lexus because the product is second to none. But, you know, we always say in those commercials, Tony, that the people make the difference, and they do.
Yeah,
you know, the minute you walk through the door.
That's the truth, by the way.
Yeah,
that's right.
And the ties to the horse business make it even stronger for people here in the Bluegrass. And, you know,
Right. Tell
me about the Keeneland shop that's at the Lexus store. How did that come about?
Oh, the Keeneland shop?
Yeah.
Well, when I put the race together and we were building that building at that time, what's his name was coming? Who was it? It was Nick Nicholson.
Nick Nicholson, yeah.
He was coming in and he says, you know, this. What are you going to put in that area? Because, you know, the pipes were coming down, everything. We built that from scratch, that old store. So I said, I think you know, the owners want to put in a coffee shop over here. I said, I think that would be nice. He said, what's the wall? He says, I don't know. I guess we'll try to get somebody to come in or whatever. So he says, well, how about Keeneland? I says, what do you mean, how about Keeneland? I love Keeneland. You got to be kidding me. What do you mean? What do you want to do? So how about if we come in there and we pay rent, you know, we'll have a Keeneland store. I said, let me talk to Rick. I said, I can't say why we wouldn't want to do it. And that's how it came about. And we're the only Keeneland store that's off of the reservation, put it that way.
Yeah.
And it's been great because we get a lot of older people that are flying back and forth or whatever. And if they're sitting there and they go to the Keeneland store and they'll buy some stuff for the grandchildren or something for their children, you know, whatever, you know. I mean, it's all product identification and it's all Keeneland. And again, if it's you buy something from the Keeneland store, you know it's quality. Again, it's about the people, right?
Yep. Yeah, the people, the quality of the product, it all ties together with Tony and the Lexus store and the Godfather. And Tony, I got to get to a commercial break in a minute, but I just want to tell you that I want to thank you publicly for everything that you have done for me personally, for Michelle, and for this particular program, this network. It's been a wonderful relationship, and again, I hope it continues for many, many years. But I just want to thank you personally because you were an integral part.
When you climb the trees with your shotgun, be careful, don't fall out. Okay?
All right,
I'll warn you on these things.
I'll do my best.
You're part Italian.
I will
you know,
do
Italians
my best, my
with
friend.
Guns are a little dangerous, so be careful.
Godfather, thank you for everything. Thank you for taking a little time here this morning to look back on that wonderful career at Lexus. And enjoy your retirement, my friend. Many, many
Love
happy
you,
years.
Baby. Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
God bless.
The Godfather, Tony Attiano. And, yeah. When I tell you every single week in their commercials that it's about the people, that the people make the difference, and you heard Tony talk about the quality of the product with Lexus vehicles, he's 100% right. But the people are what set it apart. You know, he referred to it as not being a claiming race when you walk in there. You're in a grade one. You're in a stakes race when you walk in to the Lexus store of Lexington. I love the way he put that, and he'll be missed. No doubt, so many of you have come up to me over the years and said, hey, can you introduce me to the Godfather? How do I go see the Godfather? Well, he'll be missed, but he'll still be around, and we wish him all the best in that retirement. Great stuff. All right, still to come, I'm going to visit with Michael Blowen from Old Friends. He'll join me to kick off the second half of the show. We'll talk about Green Mountain Park, which had that devastating fire take place this past week. Arno Delacour will be with me to look ahead to the Grade 1 Belmont Oaks Invitational. Jeff Bratt, the handicapper at Woodbine, will preview all the big races coming up this weekend north of the border. All of that in the second half of the show. But when I return, it's your Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Gainsway stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 1:32 4/5. Cara Conti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti's first crop of three-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Sole Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Katil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream, value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Cara Conti at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
The National HBPA is continuously working to protect the health and welfare of horses by advocating and funding research to help reduce equine injuries, lobbying for a national testing lab to oversee and establish absolute uniform laboratory protocols, advocating for every track to undergo an annual independent surface assessment, passionately supporting off-the-track thoroughbred retirement facilities and adoption groups, and so much more. See additional HBPA initiatives at nationalhbpa.com.
Hey, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile. Join me and Bobby Newman every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern for Race Day on HRRN. We'll bring you all the action from places like Belmont, Keeneland, Churchill, and Santa Anita, interviews with the biggest stars in thoroughbred racing, and follow the road to the Breeders' Cup right to Lexington on November 6th and 7th. Tune in on Sirius 219, XM 201, or stream Race Day Live on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
3/4 and 1/12 and 3. They've closed in, and now they're passing North Broadway. Here's Call Me Love. Here's Starship Jubilee. And on the outside, it is Sister Charlie as the field comes down for the eighth pole. On the inside, Call Me Love. And on the outside, it is Starship Jubilee. Starship Jubilee now takes the lead from Call Me Love. Sister Charlie is in third. They come for the finish in the Ballston Spa. And it's going to be Starship Jubilee to win it by a head. Call Me Love was second. Sister Charlie finished third. The time was 1:41 and 3.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on HRRN. National Talk Like a Pirate Day, HRRN. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch. And that was John Embriel with the call of the Starship Jubilee victory in the Ballston Spa back on July 25th of this year. Later today, she'll take on the boys in the Grade 1 Woodbine Mile, a win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile Division. That takes place north of the border at Woodbine in Toronto. It is part of a weekend that includes three Breeders' Cup Challenge races. You have the Natalma and the Summer Stakes tomorrow. And post time for the Woodbine Mile today, 5:39 Eastern. I'll talk with Jeff Bratt, 9:40 Eastern time this morning. That's the handicapper at Woodbine. Jeff will walk through all of those stakes races and share his thoughts on who he thinks is going to win. But time now to welcome in another talented distaffer to the program as our industry star of the week, which is presented by Stuart Morris, and that is Meredith Krupp, who is involved with consigning horses. She just launched her first public consignment. She has been an integral part of this game for the past couple of years, and she's with me now here on the Horse Racing Radio Network as our industry star of the week. Meredith, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Things are great. How are things with you?
They're good. They're rolling at the sale. They're busy.
Yeah, a different type of sale this year. You're used to the hustle and bustle and having so many people around, and there's still people there, but it's not the same vibe, is it?
No, it's definitely not the same vibe, unfortunately, but, you know, I think it's better than what a lot of us expected. I think that Fasig and Keeneland have done a great job at still making it conducive to buyers and sellers while making us all safe. So I think they've done their best effort. And, you know, as much change as there's been, I think they tried their best to make it as little change as possible for the horse sales.
Well, Meredith, this segment is all about you because you are our industry star of the week. And Stuart was kind enough to pass along your number. He said, listen, she's a rising star in the business. We have to make her our industry star of the week at some point. So here you are. Congratulations on that honor. And take me back to the beginning here. Tell me your story and how you came to be involved in the horse business and where you are today.
Well, first I got to say I appreciate that from Stuart. He's a good friend of ours, and he is a constant cheerleader of other people in this industry, and that's kind of hard to find, especially when you're young. So I really appreciate Stuart, and he's always been very kind to me and rooted me on, so that's very nice of him. But I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, near actually only 3 or 4 miles from River Downs. I'll probably never call it Belterra. It'll always be River Downs for me. And my dad, he loved the track and loved horses and loved racing, and he was in the heavy machinery business, and so he, you know, knew some about agriculture, but he was always taking me to the racetrack at River Downs. I was like 10 or 11 years old, and we'd go there even middle of the day, and, you know, he'd at that time, he'd send me to the window. He'd be sitting at a table, and he'd send me to the window and say, all right, but these horses, and I want a $2 Exacta box, and still to this day, that's the bet I make. So I think that's really when I got my itch for horses in general, and then I rode sport horses up until college and rode for the equestrian team at UK, and I majored in business, and I think I wanted to combine the two, and so when I went to my first sale when I was a senior in college, you know, thoroughbred sales seems like the best of both worlds. You get the horses and the business, and the hustle and bustle and the selling and all that. So that's kind of when I got the itch for the sales, was when I was a senior in college.
You know, I just had the godfather from the Lexus store of Lexington, Tony Attiano, with me in the previous segment, and he talked about the fact that this sport is a 24/7, 7 day a week, 365 day a year commitment, and you have to be in it and you have to be part of it and you have to be passionate about it. You obviously are. What's the most rewarding part for you about being involved with the industry the way that you are?
I think for me it's raising the horses. You know, I think it's we pull them out of their mama and we do the breeding, and we're there, and you know, the long nights and waking up in the middle of the night, and if a foal is sick, and you know, for me, I'm really passionate about raising them and bringing them to the sale. And I think my fiance Jay and I are really, he's very passionate as well about raising a good racehorse. You know, we obviously want them to sell well, but at the end of the day, we want them to go to the track and do what they're meant to do and be tough and compete against the best. So I think for me, it's just raising a good horse is the best part for me.
How cool is it to finally have your first consignment about a month ago or so?
It is. It's very cool. You know, we actually have, Jay was a part of Select Sales for 11 years, and I joined them when I was young, and I was with them for 5 or 6 years, and they really took me under their wing, and a lot of pretty much everything I know is from, you know, Carrie Brogdon and Andrew Carey over there, and I got to give them a lot of credit. They always really supported me, and Jay, my fiance, is very supportive, and when that company dissolved and we joined Eaton, we've always done these regional sales in Louisiana and Florida. And we have clients there that we have to support, and they send the big horses to Kentucky, but we have to support them in their regional bred programs as well. And when, you know, Eaton, when we joined Eaton and they aren't really designed to go to those regional sales, Jay said, well, why don't you go ahead and we'll do it together. So it's, you know, him and I still going to these regional sales under our name, but we are with Eaton, and everything we sell in Kentucky will be with Eaton. But I mean, it's very exciting, especially for Jay and I, you know, to be able to do it together, just the two of us, was a lot of fun in Louisiana, and And then we went on to Texas under Eaton, and we did very well, topping both sales. So that was exciting.
Yeah, it's been a wonderful ride, and I know that ride is still continuing. Many moments ahead for our industry star of the week. She is Meredith Krupp. And Meredith, listen, I appreciate the visit here this morning. Thank you for taking a little time. I know you're busy at the Keeneland sale. Go back and pick out some more winners for people, and continued success. And, again, congratulations.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. Hope you all have a good day.
Oh, you got it. And she mentioned some pretty big names there with Andrew Carey and Carey Brogdon and the folks at Eaton. She has learned from some of the best in the business, and now she is taking things to a new level. Meredith Krupp, our Industry Star of the Week, presented by Stuart Morris. And don't forget that Stuart wants to thank his owners, his clients, and his entire team. He knows that his success is because of you. He's never forgotten that. And with multiple stakes horses over the past several years that include Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, Malagasy, and Kentucky Derby contender South Bend, who ran in the Derby there a couple of weeks ago. Stuart is your source for success at the highest levels, and you can visit all the Stuart Morris consignments at every major sale, every major yearling sale for sure. Make sure you do that, and make sure you tell Stuart that you heard the Industry Star of the Week segment right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, busy second half of the program comes your way next. It kicks off with Michael Blowen from Old Friends looking back on Green Mountain. We're back with Hour 2 right after I pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Tis the Law's got a two-length lead. Dr. Post has moved up on the outside into second. Pneumatic is third, but it is the New York Hero, Tis the Law and Manny Franco to win the Belmont Stakes.
Improbable has built a four-length lead. By my standards, Tom's d'etat, code of honor, it's Improbable and Erron Ortiz Jr. to win the Whitney.
Welcome to the Equine Forum.
And Honor AP runs right by Authentic. And Odor at the rail and Rushy, a 16th to go. Honor AP a length and a half. Authentic, Rushy running on late. It will be Honor AP, a very impressive winner of the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby.
Tom's d'etat shaken up. Shaken up to a three-length lead. By My Standards is trying hard, but he's still second. Silver Dust is third. Multiplier trying to come on late for fourth. But with a 16th to go, it's total domination for Tom's d'etat.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum rolling on. Busy morning. If you missed any portion of the show, my interview with Churchill Assistant Racing Secretary and Stakes Coordinator Dan Bork, the Godfather Tony Appiano from the Lexus Store, or our Industry Star of the Week, Meredith Krupp, all you have to do is head back to our website, and you can listen to the entire show at your leisure. That's at horseracingradio.net. It will be posted shortly after we finish up at 10 o'clock Eastern this morning. Second half of the show begins with Michael Blowen from Old Friends. He'll share some memories and some thoughts on Green Mountain Park, which had that devastating fire this past week that pretty much gutted the entire grandstand. That was on Wednesday. And you remember that Green Mountain has been dormant since the early 90s, and it was 44 years almost to the day after the final thoroughbred race was contested at the track, September 12th of 1976, that the fire took place this week. And it's just, for somebody who grew up in that part of the country and knew Green Mountain and what it was, at least with greyhounds anyway, as I was growing up, it's sad to see where it is today. So Michael will look back on that historic track. Arno Delacour going to be with me at 9:20 Eastern. Jeff Bratt from Woodbine to handicap the big races there this weekend. He'll be with me at 9:40. And, of course, our Four Roses bourbon visit with Brent Elliott, the master distiller at Four Roses. Poll question this morning, so many of you weighing in at HRRN on Twitter. Keep those votes coming. What is your favorite national day to celebrate? This is National Talk Like a Pirate Day, so we gave you a few choices. Well, do you like Talk Like a Pirate Day? Do you like National Burger Day? National Red Wine Day, maybe? Or other? And if you choose other, please specify which day you prefer. So far, 33% of the vote, that is leading this category, 33% saying that they prefer Red Wine Day. I love our listeners across HRN Nation. I'm right there with you. By the way, I voted for Red Wine Day, too. Derby Day. Yeah, there's a good one. National Margarita Day. Uh-huh, that's strong. Turtle Soup Day is what Chris says. I like that, Chris. Turtle Soup Day. Must be from Louisiana. There's another vote for Margarita Day. And, well, April 20th. All right. Keep them coming. Keep the comments coming at HRN on Twitter. Well, Michael Blowen is now with me to kick off the second half of the program. Michael, good morning, my friend.
Good morning, Mike. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, great to have you on the program again and hear your voice. And, you know, I referenced at the top of the show when I was talking about Green Mountain, there is so much history there going all the way back to right after Lou Smith bought the place. Of course, the owner of Rockingham Park, he founded it and ran thoroughbreds there for the first time in 1963. But in 1968, Green Mountain became the first track on the East Coast to host Sunday racing. And that was just the start of the history that that track would make.
Yeah, Lou Smith was a great guy. I got to know him towards the end of his reign at Rockingham Park, and Lou was just the greatest guy. And, you know, Green Mountain was such a beautiful little track. It was, you know, when you called and asked me to be on, I started thinking about it. When I was a kid growing up, there were 17 thoroughbred racetracks in New England, including Great Barrington and Green Mountain and the Three County Fair and all those tracks, along with Suffolk and Rockingham and Narragansett and all those. There were 17 of them, and now there are none. Zero.
Yeah, yeah,
it's New
hard
England
to believe,
racetracks.
Isn't it?
It's hard to believe. But Green Mountain, for anybody who's ever driven by there, even when it was abandoned and the whole place was falling down, it's such a beautiful, beautiful location. I mean, it was such a gorgeous little place. And the only thing I can add to what everybody, Mike Welch has written and a lot of other people have written that worked at Green Mountain, it reminded me of Pete Coolis when I was listening to the program earlier. You know, Pete used to go there and he was really a great guy. And Pete was a marvelous man. And I know he loved Green Mountain, but it was such a gorgeous setting. It sat at the bottom of the mountains, the Green Mountains there. And one personal recollection that I have is I didn't really get involved with racing until after Green Mountain had closed. And every year when we drove back from Saratoga after opening week at Saratoga, Diane and I would go by and we'd drive the back way home instead of taking the Massachusetts Turnpike and always go by Green Mountain Park. And every year it was looking a little more desperate, a little more desperate, a little more desperate. Well, in the late 90s, I think it was 99 or 2000, Howard Dean was still governor of Vermont, and they wanted to have simulcasting at Green Mountain Park, put it in a nice restaurant and have simulcasting. So a friend of mine and a group of people put together a plan to have live racing at Green Mountain the weekend before Saratoga opened and the weekend after Saratoga closed. So people on their way to Saratoga or back from Saratoga would have the opportunity to do this. And the concept was we would have green racing. You know, no drugs, no whips, only racing on the grass, and make it into a six-day, you know, really cool little meet. And then Vermont could have simulcasting, and they could open up the restaurant all year round and do all that kind of a thing. And we pretty much had the deal put together, but at the end, the price kept going up. Every time we turned around and we thought we had made arrangements to purchase the track, the price kept going up until it got out of sight, and then that was the end of our involvement with it. And I don't know how many people tried to open it up since then, but that was we came pretty close. Howard Dean really wanted to do it.
Yeah, yeah. It's It's sad that that didn't come together, Michael. I know that there were many attempts over the years since Green Mountain had closed in the early 90s to try to revitalize the racetrack, and people looked at getting involved. And it just, for whatever reason, one reason or another, it never materialized. But, you know, going back to its heyday, back after the Rooney family took over, which was right around 1973, I guess, and, of course, people will know the Rooneys as the owners of the Pittsburgh Steelers. They bought the track. They've been very involved with not just Green Mountain, but with several racetracks in the country. And so many people that I've talked to over the years that have worked at Green Mountain couldn't say enough good things about that family and the efforts that they made to make racing successful at that track and all the other tracks.
No, I totally agree. I mean, when they talk about what's happening with racing now, oftentimes people don't mention that. But the people that ran racing, you know, when Suffolk was in his heyday and when Rockingham was in his heyday, really loved racing. And, you know, there's the Rooney family and the Galbraiths, and you can go on and on and on. But they were really dedicated to racing. And now there's a lot of absentee ownership, and, you know, there's not the personal attachment where, you know, when you used to walk around places like Green Mountain and even Great Barrington, the people that own the track would be in the backstretch every morning, walking around, talking to the trainers, how's your horse, how are you? You know, they know the family, you know, they've been coming back for years. And a lot of people in New England in particular, I think, thought of these places as almost like a summer camp for adults, where people could get away from the city and take their vacations and go to Green Mountain and Great Barrington and all the little tracks and the little places where, you know, most of the people that were there really adored the sport. Yeah. We miss that a lot, and I think it's starting to hit home that these smaller tracks are beginning to evaporate at an even higher rate, and we've got to do something to help them, because I think the county fairs and the little tracks are extremely important to the overall health of the sport.
Speaking of helping the industry, I'm visiting, by the way, with Michael Blowen from Old Friends Retirement Center here in Kentucky. And, Michael, you have done yeoman's work over the years to help the sport and to help horses that have competed in our sport at a high level, and even some that have not competed at a high level, but you have taken them in with open arms at Old Friends. Give me an update on what's happening at Old Friends right now.
Well, it's been really great. We're very grateful to John Hendrickson and the estate of Mary Lou Whitney. They just retired Birdstone to us, and he's here now. We picked up the Pizza Man and Work All Week recently. Stormy Liberal and Patch, I mean, it being National Pirate Day, I had to mention Patch, are doing really well together. And we just made a really nice arrangement with LNJ Foxwoods to be kind of their official home for retiring their broodmares. And they just delivered two broodmares to us. They paid for the construction of a new paddock and running shed and waters. It looks really nice. And the first two broodmares were delivered here last week. So, and one of them is a really amazing horse. Her name is Mystery Trip. And she was the last foal by Weekend Surprise, who everybody probably knows, one of the greatest broodmares in history, with babies like AP Indy. And I'm hoping that, you know, there may be more organizations and more partnerships and more owners that would think about what happens to these horses once they're done racing and breeding, and make some provisions, because I think it makes for a lot of fun. And, you know, except for the virus now, which has cut down a lot, and we've limited our tours now, you know, when we reopen safely, it'll be really nice to see all the people coming back and seeing all these horses. You know, I still have a horse I had who won races for us at Great Barrington. I claimed him in 1999. His name's Summer Attraction. He's still here with me. So
wow.
So aside from the Travers winners and the Belmont winners and Silver Charms doing well, our Derby winner. Aside from those, you're right, Mike. We do have a lot of horses that didn't win big grade one stakes races, but they deserve a dignified retirement as well.
How about my old friend Zippy Chippy? Is he still around?
Yeah, Zippy Chippy is at our farm up in Saratoga. We have a division up in Saratoga that's run by Joanne Pepper, who does a marvelous job up there. And Zippy Chippy's up there. I think Zippy just turned like 28, something like that. But Zippy, of course, was the big star of the fairs because he could never win a race. And believe it or not, that was the hardest negotiation I ever had to try and get a horse to Old Friends. Felix, we used to take him to used car lots after his racing career was over for like a couple $100. And he and Zippy would stand around the used car lot in Western Massachusetts, and he'd be the celebrity guest, so people would be drawn into like used cars. So Felix was not interested in giving it up too early, but eventually it worked out well, and he's doing really great up there with Joanne and all her wonderful crews outside Saratoga.
Yeah, it's great to hear. According to Wikipedia, his official race record was 0 for 100 with 8 seconds and 12 thirds. He earned about $30,000 in his career, but he would race against like minor league baseball players too. He would show up as a stunt there, and he would race against and was beaten by a human being, by a major league baseball player, if I remember correctly, right?
Yes, eventually he was.
Yeah.
He raced, I think, they didn't start the same distance. They gave the baseball player a big head start, but I'm trying to remember his name. His name was McDonald, and he eventually played for the Red Sox and the Yankees.
Jose Herrera, I think, is according to the Wikipedia article I'm reading here, I think it was Jose Herrera in Rochester, New York, actually. And he beat Zippy that day. And I can, Mike, I'll tell you real quick before I let you go. My claim to fame was Zippy Chippy, and I think we can go back and look this up. I was handicapping the races, and I was going through the racing form, and I saw the name Zippy Chippy. He was going to make his debut, and if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure he was firing bullets for his debut. And I said, man, this horse looks like he can really run. I like Zippy Chippy on top in this race. Just to show you what kind of handicapper I am, he goes 0 for 100.
You're not the only one, because when we make glasses with the horses' names on them, we list their accomplishments, but we couldn't list any of the Zippies because he was 0 for 100. And so I went back, and we ended up listing the names of all 26 jockeys that rode him. And he went from Mike Smith and Richard Migliori all the way down to who and who and who, you know? And so that's all 26 names are on the glass, and nobody could get him to win one race. But his motto is good, Mike. His motto is winners don't always finish first.
There you go. I love that.
That's the case of Zippy Chippy. I mean, there's a wonderful book that they wrote about, that a guy in Canada wrote about Zippy. I mean, he's famous. People come from all over the country to see him. So maybe this is the apex now. He's a tourist attraction. And he's raising a lot of money up at Cabin Creek, up at Durant's Old Friends. And maybe that's what he was always meant to do, be a silent superstar.
Good for him. And people can go to oldfriendsequine.org if they want to see all of the horses at Old Friends. There are so many of them, so many of the names that you've become familiar with and fallen in love with over the years. Oldfriendsequine.org. Of course, you can support Old Friends. Michael, it's not why I brought you on. This wasn't a stunt to raise money for Old Friends. I wanted to look back on Green Mountain, but we encourage everybody, if they're going to do something, they want to make a donation, why not? Old Friends, a wonderful organization, and you get all the credit in the world, my friend, for bringing these horses home and giving them a home after they're done racing. So well done, and can't wait for things to get back to normal so we can get out there and see them again.
Can't wait to see you again, Mike. Thanks so much.
All right, Michael Blowen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Yeah, fantastic, fantastic organization. And Zippy Chippy, I loved him. I didn't think he could get beat that day. You know, he got beat every single time after that. I put the kibosh on him. Yeah. All right, we're going to come back and take a look at the Grade 1 Saratoga Oaks. I'll do that with trainer Arno Delacour next on the Equine Forum on HRRN.
The test of time. There is no better example than Mill Ridge Farm. Founded in 1962 by Alice Chandler, this year's inductee into the Hall of Fame as a pillar of the turf. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 35 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners and 2 Horses of the Year, nearly 2 per year. If you're looking for success in the thoroughbred business, consider Millridge Farm and its consulting arm, Nicoma Bloodstock, for it is proven and tested over time.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Flatter. This prolific son of AP Indy has sired 6 millionaires, including Eclipse champion West Coast. He's adding even more stakes winners to his outstanding record, including Sovereign Award winner Avies Flatter. His yearlings have topped the Phasic Tipton July sale 2 years in a row and sold up to $900,000 at Keeneland September. Success on the track, success in the ring. Flatter, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Enola Gay is right alongside of Antoinette. Stunning Skies on the outside in third. Then Key Biscayne, Vecchetta, Speak to Me if Summer is looking to rally. Down on the inside, the field is coming down for the eightfold in the Saratoga Oaks. It is Antoinette. Stunning Sky on the outside. Enola Gay in third. Speak to Me if Summer is fourth. Antoinette and Stunning Sky. And the two of them will fight it out to the finish with Antoinette winning it. Antoinette by a head. Stunning Sky ran second. The mile and 3/16 in 1 minute, 53 1/5 seconds.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you on this Saturday morning. And that was John Embriel with the call of the Saratoga Oaks. Antoinette getting the victory in her most recent outing. The 3-year-old filly expected to vie for favoritism in today's Grade 1 Belmont Oaks Invitational with Magic Attitude, who makes her U.S. debut in the hands of trainer Arno Delacour. And he will join me momentarily. But before we get to Arno, I told you I would keep you updated on the latest news about the workout for Authentic, who the Derby winner, prepping for the Preakness Stakes. He was at Churchill Downs this morning. Kevin Kirstein, nice enough to pass along the information. And Authentic going 5 furlongs, 59.20 this morning at Churchill Downs, and out in 125.20 for the 7.8. So pretty good workout there for Authentic. He appears to be no worse for wear coming out of that big Derby win a couple of weeks ago. And now we turn our attention to the Grade 1 Saratoga Oaks. We go from news on the 3-year-old males to news on the 3-year-old fillies and Magic Attitude getting ready to kick things off here in the U.S. later today. Arno, good morning.
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for being with me. Look, I just talked about Authentic and his workout. That seemed pretty good. How about Magic Attitude? What are you seeing from her?
Well, she came to us like late July, and she's been, pretty straightforward, very easy filly to deal with. So we hope for a good performance today.
When you get a filly like this, a very talented filly, daughter of Galileo, when you get a filly like this into your barn, and a filly you haven't been around much, you didn't have her from, a 2-year-old, you're starting to learn what she's like, what are some of the steps you go through to get to know her?
Well, I mean, we just try to be very progressive about what we're doing, knowing that we're obviously changing a training surface coming from Europe to the States. So we try to do it like gradually, get to know her and breathe her a few times and learn from that. And that's what we've done with her.
Have you spent much time going back and watching her races in France?
Yes, of course, yeah.
What do you see? What do you take away from that when you watch the replay of those races, Arnaud?
Well, it looks like she can be pretty aggressive if she's not covered up. She won going a mile and eight when she won the Prix Vento, and she was kind of like mid pack, covered up, came with a big kick. So we like the fact that she could really she had a turn of foot. Now she ran back in the Prix Satellari, which was a little bit longer, like mile and a quarter, I believe. And she was never covered up and was a little strong. She hung on for second, which was a great performance considering. But we thought that she was a little bit aggressive that day. Running in the Diane, so the French Hawks, she was way more relaxed, probably a little more, a lot to do being the last one of them. But at least she was relaxed and came with a big move, big kick. So, you know, hopefully we will try to duplicate that effort.
Yeah, it's only a 5-horse field later today in that Belmont Oaks Invitational. Is it more difficult to get her in a position where she's covered up and she can relax in a short field like that? Or in some respects, can it be easier for Javier Castellano?
Well, I hope it's going to be easier. The only thing is when you commit to, you know, be covered up and sit behind horses, you kind of depend completely of the pace in front. So you can't really make the pace, and where you are is where you're going to sit for a while. So I just hope that there's enough pace. It can be tricky in a 5-horse field, but, you know, we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, you'll face off with the Bill Mott-trained Antoinette. She is the likely horse to vie for favoritism with your horse, Magic Attitude. What do you know about Antoinette, Arnaud?
Well, I saw her at Saratoga. I mean, I saw the win at Saratoga. She looked very impressive to me. Looks like she's got a big stride, good cruising speed, and can go the distance. So she's definitely a good filly. We just hope that we'll be able to, you know, to show up with a good turn of foot and get there, but it's definitely going to be an interesting race.
You mentioned getting Magic Attitude into your barn sometime in July this year, and now we're sitting here in September. She's going in this Grade 1 race. Was this always the spot that you had in mind?
No, we were considering the Del Mar Oaks. Unfortunately, when she arrived, she had a mild temperature, and we had to give her like probably an easy 10 days, and she missed too much training to be able to ship again and run efficiently in the Del Mar Oaks. So we decided to skip. And at that time, we didn't know when the Belmont Hawks were going to be, and it just came public. So we thought that the timing was perfect.
Well, she is not the only horse that you will saddle in a stakes race this weekend. You will also send out your horse at Woodbine. That is, I'm going to say the name. Is it Châtelet or Châtelet?
Châtelet.
Châtelet, okay.
Yes, she's,
and that's at Woodbine in the Woodbine Care Stakes.
She's quick. She's, she's definitely a sprinter. 5'8 is the right distance for her. We're stepping up in class, so we hope that she improves from her first effort, which was pretty good at Colonial Down. If she step up a little bit, she should be able to get a piece of it.
She's a daughter of Into Mischief, just like Derby winner Authentic is. That sire, I mean, he's just getting things done, whether it's dirt, turf, long, short, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, they seem to produce a lot of horses that are very genuine, wants to run. And we've been, all the time you see an Into Mischief into your barn, you, as a trainer, you always get pretty excited, you know.
Well, Arnaud Delacour is a busy man, and his horses are running and running very, very well. He has saddled more than 400 winners in his career. He's looking to add to that total this weekend. Arnaud, listen, appreciate the visit. I know it's a busy morning. All the best later today and moving forward as well.
Thank you very much.
All right, Arnaud Delacour, like every guest here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, these interviews are brought to you by our friends at Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love and embrace your passion by visiting embracetherace.com. And we encourage you to do that each and every week here on the show. The product's second to none, the quality impeccable. And that's kind of been a recurring theme of this show this morning with the Godfather from the Lexus store in the first half of the program, and now telling you about Mike Dienzeris and the wonderful folks that Embrace the Race here in the second half of the program. Hey, don't miss the Blood Horse Magazine September 19th issue, which features a look at Vekoma and how his unique way of going delivers spectacular results. Michael Mulvihill brings racing to Fox Sports Networks at the right time. Plus, you can read the feature on Steve Cawthon, who remains a winner at Dreamfields. There are all kinds of ways that you can get involved with Blood Horse. Download a copy of Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet today from the App Store or Google Play, or go to shop.bloodhorse.com. And don't miss their special that is going on right now. 10 weekly issues for only $10. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to learn more. Well, I told you the Breeders' Cup is fast approaching. November 6th and 7th at Keeneland will be there as your exclusive radio home. You'll hear every Breeders' Cup race live with us here on the network. 47 days, 15 hours, 29 minutes away. In 2 weeks, we'll bring you coverage of the Preakness Stakes, the final jewel, if you will, in this year's Triple Crown. Usually we're referring to the Preakness as the middle jewel, the gateway to horse racing immortality, if the Derby winner can get through that one and head to the Belmont. This year we'll wrap up the Triple Crown with the Preakness, and a chance that we could see a rematch between Authentic and Tis the Law. I told you that Authentic work this morning at Churchill went very, very well. Passed along those numbers a short time ago. Tis the Law expected to make a decision on the Preakness Stakes by early or mid-week, coming up here Tuesday or Wednesday. He's going to work, and then after his work, they will make a decision on whether they're going to go to the Preakness. Maybe they skip that race and go to the Breeders' Cup Classic. They did say in the article that was on Blood Horse that they are planning on racing him as a four-year-old, maybe a race like the Pegasus World Cup down at Gulfstream Park, and then pointing for a race like the Whitney later next summer at Saratoga. So that's good news. We'll get a chance to see Tis the Law, who undoubtedly has been the top three-year-old in the country this year, but Authentic threw his name into the ring for champion three-year-old with that big win, defeating Tis the Law in the Kentucky Derby. And that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because Authentic, his resume is pretty strong now too. It was strong going into the Kentucky Derby after winning the Haskell, but it's even stronger now, and now he's beaten Tis the Law head-to-head. So Tis the Law is going to have to find a way to flip that script if he wants to be three-year-old champion. And going into the Derby a couple of weeks ago, I didn't even think we'd be talking about any other horse other than Tis the Law having a chance to be three-year-old champion. But Authentic did what he needed to do, and he's a legitimate candidate right now to be three-year-old champion. Pretty cool. I can't wait to see the way that plays out. But follow us for the Preakness Stakes, the Black-Eyed Susan part of that card. We'll have all the Breeders' Cup Challenge races from Keeneland as part of that broadcast in 2 weeks. And then we'll segue into all of our Breeders' Cup coverage for you November 6th and 7th at Keeneland. All right, coming up next, I'm going to talk about the Breeders' Cup and the Breeders' Cup Challenge races taking place this weekend at Woodbine. I'll do that with Woodbine handicapper Jeff Bratt. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN.
They're in the gate at Churchill Downs. And they're off.
Churchill Downs September meet is underway with post time each day at 12:45 p.m. now through Sunday, September 27th. A total of over $4.2 million in prize money will be offered over the nine-day race meet. And don't forget the $100,000 Grade 3 ACAC set for Saturday, September 26th. Don't miss the action. For more information, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
Discover the thrill of affordable race ownership with My Race Horse. My Race Horse features multiple horses at tracks coast to coast trained by top trainers like Todd Pletcher, Bob Baffert, Steve Asmussen, and Linda Rice. My Race Horse provides you with exclusive owner updates, and all earnings are paid directly to your online account. Get started now for as little as $65 at MyRaceHorse.com and the free MyRaceHorse.com app.
My Racehorse is offering securities only through the use of an offering circular for this part of the offering statement qualified by the Securities and Exchange Commission under Tier 2 of Regulation A. A copy of the offering circular may be obtained at MyRacehorse.com.
Adina Springs bred and raced Dawson McGann's best son in Horse of the Year and Hall of Famer Ghost Sapper. Now one of the most consistently brilliant sires this century, producing 11% black type winners, 6% graded winners, and 17% black type horses, highlighted by 12 grade 1 winners, 8 millionaires, and 5 champions. Adina Springs also bred and raced Ghost Sapper's best son, champion, multiple grade 1 winner, and Hall of Famer Shaman Ghost, who became the first horse in 3 decades to reel off this historic grade 1 double.
It's going to be a photo finish, and it's going to be won by Shaman Ghost. He has won the Woodward.
Shaman Ghost out towards the middle of the track. It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile. Shaman Ghost has beaten Midnight Storm.
Seeing is believing with Shaman Ghost. Believe in the first Shaman Ghost yearlings appearing at the sales this fall. Learn more at AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Tippin trying to get clear here. Fighting down the outside, Mr. Owen is running on. Tippin in front. They have a fill on to run, and she has turned them away. And she is going to make this her own personal playground. Tippin going on to win the Rico Woodbine Mile. But it is World Approval who slips away. World Approval in front, right down the outside, finishing on is Mondial East and Lancaster Bomber. But World Approval wins the Rico Woodbine Mile by almost 3 lengths.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. Robert Geller with the call of Mark Cassie's 2 victories in the Woodbine Mile, and they have been good ones. Tippin and World Approval coming back-to-back in 2016 and 2017, respectively. He's looking to add to those win totals later this afternoon when he sends out a trio of horses in this year's Rico Woodbine Mile. He'll be represented, of course, by War of Will, who is the Preakness winner from a year ago. He has the ultra-talented horse breaking from the rail, March to the Arch, and then a long shot in their Olympic runner. And I'm joined now by Jeff Bratt, who is the handicapper at Woodbine, does a fantastic job to look at that race and some of the other stakes races on the program today, and maybe even look ahead to tomorrow with the Natalma and the Summer Stakes as we continue our theme of winning your in action leading up to the Breeders' Cup. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning from a chilly Woodbine, Mike. It is cold. I'm not sure what the temperature is like where you are, but fall has all of a sudden just flown into us here at Woodbine.
Well, you're sending that cold weather down here to the Bluegrass, too. We kicked things off at 8 Eastern this morning. It was 43 degrees here.
Yeah, well, it's 46 right now here at Woodbine. So it's the good news is no rain, and the horses will be very, very happy. So that's great to see.
Yeah, 12-race program today. The racing action is figuring to heat up as we get closer to post time later this afternoon and make our way through that 12-race card. But you have the Woodbine Mile, the Rico Woodbine Mile. You also have the Singspiel, which is on that program today. Let's start with the Woodbine Mile and work backwards, I guess. We'll do it that way since
sure.
I brought up Mark Cassie and his 3 horses. They look like a formidable group later today.
You know what? So Mark's trying to join a very select group. There are 3 trainers that have won this race on 3 occasions. And how does this sound for a resume? Neil Drysdale, Bobby Frankel, and Charlie Lopresti. That's pretty good competition that you're facing there. So, yeah, it's great to have War of Will with us. And I just want to give a big tip of the cap to our racing office, Julie Bell, our stakes coordinator, because, you know, with COVID-19, Mike, it's been so tough to have horses shipped north of the border because you can ship horses, but people, if they come to Canada, they have to stay 14 days in quarantine. So it's really, really been tricky. So the fact that we've been able to attract a War of Will, the fact that we've got, you know, an up-and-comer, potentially a superstar in Cheryl's Fight, we don't know that. Obviously, Kevin Attard, he's got a horse that is our horse of the year from last season, that being Starship Jubilee. And you've got Value Proposition as well. And Value Proposition, if he can ever avoid those lane-in tendencies, he's got a shot to potentially be a Grade Stakes winner. So just a lovely race under some trying circumstances.
I love that you brought up Cheryl's Spite because this is a 3-year-old daughter, a 3-year-old son of Spitestown, 2-for-2 to begin his career. He won the Grade 3 Marine last time out. But his trainer, Roger Atfield, much like Mark Cassie, a member of two Hall of Fames in the U.S. and in Canada. He can win this race. I'm telling you, he is one heck of a horse trainer.
And yeah, this is a race he's never won. He would love to get this race onto his resume. So yeah, Cheryl's Fight. The big question, and Mike, maybe we can debate this a little bit too, is what type of price we're going to get on this horse come post time, because this was arguably one of the most impressive maiden winners I've ever seen at Woodbine. I've worked here for over 20 years. Then came back to win the Marine. They thought about maybe going to the Derby. Horse got sick. Might have been a blessing in disguise. I mean, don't get me wrong, this is a tough task too, but at least it's in your own backyard. There's obviously been a lot of hype with this horse. Do you think we get 8-1 come post time with Cheryl's Fight?
Well, with the presence of War of Will and Starship Jubilee, I know the 7-year-old mare is taking on the boys today, but she is as tough as they come. I think you might. I think you're going to be looking at that 7-8-1 ballpark with this horse.
And, you know, I really think that down the line, turf will be his future. I mean, his first career start was on turf. Obviously, his mom won the Breeders' Cup Filly & Mare turf, a game of Roger Atfield, his lone Breeders' Cup a victory. But this is going to be the real test for him today. And, you know, the fact that Admiralty Pier has elected to go in this race instead of the Singspiel, that adds the pace set up. War of Will is going to be somewhat forwardly placed in here as well. So I think we potentially could have a legitimate pace up front, which you should have for a $1 million race.
Do you see Starship Jubilee, the horse of the year, being able to knock off the boys today?
That is a great question. You know, I respect her a ton. She obviously comes out of a very difficult race in Diana. I think she's got a shot, for sure. I think the fact that this race is in her own backyard, I think that's a huge plus. For the first time this season, she hasn't had to ship. I think that's a major, major plus. I think she's going to be somewhat ignored in the wagering, which could be a bit of a mistake. You know, she's got tactical speed, too. She's so versatile. And I really think that, you know, like 8 or 9 furlongs, it's probably her preferred distance. And this would just be a real Cinderella story if she were able to get the cap and gown here today in the Woodbine Mile.
You know, Jeff, by the way, visiting with Jeff Bratt, the handicapper at Woodbine, previewing the Woodbine Mile, which comes up later today, shortly after 5 o'clock Eastern. When you look at this sport, a lot of people think you have to be, you know, sport of kings. You have to be a millionaire to be able to make money and own horses. Starship Jubilee was purchased for $6,500 in 2014. She has now earned more than $1.6 million, 18 wins in that career. Just a wonderful, wonderful story.
And she was claimed by these connections, actually, and then went through the sale, and Blue Heaven Farm purchased the horse and gave the horse back to Kevin to train. And originally they were just going to breed the mare because she'd already done enough, but they've been so happy. She won a grade one race last season, the E.P. Taylor, and prior to her last race, she was undefeated so far this season. So, yeah, she's just been a wonderful Cinderella story. You just never know what you're going to get. And sometimes when you claim a horse, you get a little bit lucky, and it's been a great ride for fans of Starship Jubilee.
So how do you see the Woodbine Mile? The top three finishers, who are they?
Okay, so I respect War of Will a lot, obviously. He started off his racing career actually right here at Woodbine. He lost his first starts, and then he lost in the Summer Stakes as well. And after then, he went down to the States, and he raced on dirt. And we all know what he's done after that. He's a dual grade one winner on turf and on the dirt, so you have to respect him a ton. He'll be right there in the mix of things. I think Cheryl's Fight will be part of the pace scenario, along with Admiralty Pier. I'm kind of going towards the other Cassie horse in this race. I like March the Arch as my top selection. I'm somewhat a believer of a horse-for-course angle when it comes to our particular turf course here, Mike, and I think that this guy really likes this turf course. I know that more often than not he finds trouble in some of his races, but he has really thrived since coming here to Woodbine. He's looked great ever since winning the King Eddie. I think he pulls off just a slight upset in today's Rico Woodbine Mile.
Yeah, post time for the Woodbine Mile, which is race 9 on the 12-race program, is 5:39 Eastern, so make sure you're locked into that one. All right, Jeff, let's talk about the other graded stakes. That's the Grade 3 Singspiel, which comes up as the 7th race, mile and a quarter on the turf. Post time for this one is 4:27 Eastern. And this, look, field of 10 entered, wide open field of 10. This can go a lot of ways.
Right, so I'm rough of this race, and we'll go into the Rico Woodbine Miles. We will have one defection there. Yeah, it's a lovely race because you've got Skywire, who's back here at Woodbine. He's had his biggest moments here. Standard deviation for Conditioner Grand Motion, trying to get back to where he once was. Where'd that last race come from with Say the Word? Goes down to Saratoga and sets a course record in the process, striking at odds of 51-1. But for me, Mike, the storyline for this race, it is pace. And I think that Tizza Slam has a huge pace advantage in this field. Now, is it the same horse as last season? That's a legitimate question to ask. And I'm not sure about that. He's a defending champion. We had this race last season at a mile and a half. Now it's been cut back to a mile and a quarter. I think he's got a great shot to wire the field. You have to respect Nakamura for sure, but I'm going to go towards Tizza Slam to see if he can maybe bounce back. I know he's kind of gone off form a little bit, but it could be a good day for conditioner Roger Atfield.
Yeah, 6-1 on the morning line. Jeff, I missed who you said was scratched in there. Which horse is coming out of the Singspiel?
Admiralty Pier is going to be scratched out of that race. But we'll be going in the Woodbine Mile.
Okay. All right, so a very competitive field of nine left in the Singspiel. And again, that's race number 7. Tiz a Slam is who Jeff thinks can return to top form and maybe pull off an upset. You know, last year, that's a horse that was in great form. He rattled off those three greatest stakes victories in consecutive fashion. And then, like you said, he's been off form lately. But if he gets it loose on the lead, he could be dangerous.
Exactly. That's kind of my game plan going in. I think the scratch of Admiralty Pier really helps him in here because he should get a rather uncontested lead in this spot. And I think he's going to like the cooler weather, too. I think he's one of those horses that doesn't like it when it's really hot outside. So I think the main danger is obviously Nakamura coming off that good result last time out. You know, and this is a proven type of horse. Has done some pretty good things in the past for conditioner Graham Motion. Graham's been very supportive of our program here at Woodbine, and I do respect Nakamura a ton as well.
Jeff Pratt, Woodbine handicapper, with me on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jeff, about 5 minutes left here in this segment before I have to get to our visit with the folks at Four Roses Bourbon. But before I do, let's look ahead to tomorrow, the Natalma, the Summer Stakes. I don't know how much time you spent diving into those races yet, but those look like they could be competitive too.
Yeah, and again, it's obviously a year in which we traditionally have bigger fields than what we've got for the summer than some of this season, but with COVID, everything's upside down, and we just have to appreciate the horses that we do have coming to us here at Woodbine. And how's this for a Canadian type of horse named Gretzky the Great for conditioner, Mark Hasse, coming off a nice victory in the Saurian Free Stakes. So this guy, by Nyquist, he was actually Nyquist's first stakes winner, is looking to excel at the added distance in there. I'm going to go towards American Monarch. American Monarch and Secret Potion are coming out of the same race, as a matter of fact, down at Saratoga. And American Monarch was entering the Wisconsin Stakes, but we'll go coming up tomorrow, and hopefully will stamp himself as a Breeders' Cup contender. So we'll give American Monarch the slight nod there.
All right, and how about the other race?
The other race is in Natalma, and this is a bit of an interesting story. So Sleek Links will go postboard for conditioner Mark Hasse in here. And this one's out of a mare named Sarah Lynx, who won the Patterson Canadian International right here at Woodbine and made a huge move on the turn in her first career start and eventually finished in the second-place position. You also, in this event, have Seasons and a Stunning Princess coming off of nice performances down at Saratoga. But I like Lady Spite Spear. This one is closely related to Cheryl Spites for conditioner Roger Atfield. First time out, got onto the grass and just made every call a winning one, and should be a lot better, I think, second time out as well. I think the locals keep the money in tomorrow's Natalma Stakes, that being Lady Spite Spear. Charles Fipke could have a massive weekend here at Woodbine.
There will be people betting the Woodbine races this weekend, especially with the Breeders' Cup Challenge angle. They'll be betting them from all over the country, all over the world,
right,
all over North America. Any special wagers that folks can look forward to playing over the next couple of days?
So we do have some guaranteed pools for horse racing fans to play along. For example, today coming up, the late pick 4 today at Woodbine, it will get rocking and rolling in race number 9, that being the Rico Woodbine Mile. The pool there will be guaranteed at $200,000. The early pick 4 will have a guaranteed pool of $100,000 that will start off in race number 4. The jackpot power pick 6 continues to grow in popularity. But really, it's the guaranteed pools that I'm focusing on, especially that late pick 4 that starts off with the Rico Woodbine Mile. Really looking forward to that, with the pool guaranteed at $200,000. If you're not all that familiar with racing at Woodbine, we have two different turf courses. We have one that's on the inside, and we have one on the outside, which is far bigger. The outside one's a mile and a half. And, of course, we do have Tapita as well. But Tapita track's been playing pretty fair as of late, so I like that. And no portable rails either, Mike, so lots of room for the horses to maneuver here today at Woodbine.
Yeah, speaking of Tapita, looking back on the Queen's Plate, this is the first year that we have not been in attendance to broadcast it in several years, and I really did miss being at Woodbine. I can't wait to hopefully get back there next year, next summer, and broadcast the Queen's Plate again. But it's, for people who don't realize it, it's Canada's version of the Kentucky Derby, if you will. Canada-bred horses, 3-year-olds competing. in the first leg of the Triple Crown. And, you know, what can you say about Josie Carroll and the job that she did with her two horses rounding out the Exacta in that race?
Yeah, she finished first, second, and fifth. And it's kind of a really unique story, too, with the horse that won. The horse's name is Mighty Heart. He only has one eye. He does not have a left eye. He only has a right eye. So he's been a bit of a challenge to get into the races, but he's overcome that obstacle in a big, big way. The rider that rode the horse, Daisuke Fukumoto, that's only his third ever stakes win. He's 22 years old, doesn't even own a car. Doesn't own a car, but has won a $1 million race and was able to pull off a victory there. Just a fantastic story. And we look forward to the Prince of Wales Stakes, and hopefully he'll be going down there and get the second jewel of Canada's Triple Crown. So, yeah, Mighty Heart wired the fields, and Belichick, named after the football coach Bill Belichick, finished second at a massive price as well. It was a tremendous day, but you were definitely missed, Mike. I know that you and your crew have done a fantastic job throughout the years. Jerry Olguin has joined your broadcast throughout the years. He's doing great work in the morning time still. So hopefully next season we'll see you back here at Woodbine, and we can celebrate with another Queen's Plate on your resume.
Yeah, I wish I was there. It's always nice to be in attendance when Belichick gets beat, but that's just my own personal opinion being a Steelers fan. So I'm a little bitter when it comes to that subject. Jeff Bratt from Woodbine with me here. You can follow him on Twitter. You can follow him on Twitter at Woodbine Bratt. That's with two T's, B-R-A-T-T. And follow his selections and all the information throughout the day, and make sure you're betting Woodbine this weekend. Jeff, appreciate the visit, my friend.
Thanks, Mike. Hopefully see you next season. Stay safe, my friend.
All right, you got it. You too. Jeff Bratt here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and that interview brought to you by Embrace the Race. Embrace your passion. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. It is time now for our monthly visit with Brent Elliott, the master distiller at Four Roses, to talk about Four Roses Select.
Original Small Batch was launched in 2006, and really that's when we created the Small Batch platform, and that's where we go back to our library of 10 recipes and use different combinations to create truly different products. And with the original, that was four recipes, 90 proof, 6 and 7 year old barrels that go into it. And then sometime in 2017, 2018, we saw that there was some changing demand in the market. People were looking for different types of products, and specific non-chill filtered products or higher proof products. So I thought that was a great opportunity to go ahead and expand on the small batch concept by offering a new small batch product. So what we did is we decided to do a non-chill filtered, higher proof, this is 104 proof bourbon, and to expand on the small batch concept, we went into our 10 recipes, and I selected 6 of the recipes and did a lot of test blending to try to hit just the perfect flavor profile that would both be, you know, very good and also different from our other products. And I think we've really achieved that with this one. It's very unique from the other products. It's very rich, robust. You know, being non-chill filtered and a higher proof, you get a lot more intense flavors coming through. It's a very rich, very nice bourbon.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I've been a fan of the small batch for a very long time. The original small batch, I have a bottle of it sitting on my bar right now, as a matter of fact. And the small batch select really, I always liked the small batch because I always thought it was a smooth, easy drink. I really enjoyed the flavor of it. And the small batch select was just the next step in that progression. And it was, as you said, kind of a more robust type of bourbon. And, man, I thought it was fantastic.
Appreciate you saying so.
How much trial and error was there when you were going through and trying to get the right blend, the right formula, the right flavor, the right concept when you were putting this whole thing together, Brent?
It's hard to really put a time on it because I worked on it sort of at my own pace. I took my time with it for probably the better part of a year. But it wasn't like formulating limited editions where it's, pull the barrels and I need to blend everything together and come up with a test blend within 2 months. With this, we knew it was coming. There was a lot of preparation time. So I had a lot of time to just try variations, just to see how different recipes would work together, what percentages we needed to achieve the flavor profile that ultimately became Small Batch Select.
Is this the flavor profile you thought you were going to come up with when you first started the process?
In the direction of the final flavor profile, because really the one of the cornerstones of the unique flavor profile is how we utilize the F yeast strain, which out of our five yeast strains, that's the one that creates kind of spearminty herbal flavors. And so I had in the back of my mind for a while that that was really what we ought to utilize to set this one apart from the other products. And so every test blend was kind of based around that F yeast strain, trying to see what other yeast strains would work well with it and create new and unique flavors. So in a sense, I kind of had an idea of the direction, but it wasn't until I got in the lab and started doing all the test blends that, you know, the blends and the learning through the process directed us to, you know, what we landed on, which is what you tasted on the 4th of July.
Yeah, I think I said in my text it was easy to see why you were given that award as Master Distiller of the Year, and I'll echo those sentiments again. Well done with Four Roses Small Batch Select and with all the bourbons at Four Roses. And Brent will encourage people to go to fourrosesbourbon.com to learn more about everything that Four Roses offers. I really appreciate the visit again here this morning, my friend. Keep up the wonderful work, and we'll continue to be mellow and be responsible with Four Roses.
That sounds great, Mike. Thanks a lot.
And we're back with more on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2020 Triple Crown and Breeders' Cup.
Power.
Caraconti has won.
Passion.
It's Caraconti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caraconti and O'Donnell. Caraconti.
Gainsway Stallion Caraconti, a precocious Group 1 winner as a 2-year-old and a 3-time Grade 1 winner, including a scintillating win in the Breeders' Cup Mile in 132 and 4 fifths. Caraconti hails from the immediate family of leading sire King Mambo, with a top female line which includes the hugely influential champion Miesque as his third dam. Caraconti's first crop of 3-year-olds includes graded stakes winners Soleil Volante and Kenzai Warrior, along with stakes winners Carrick, Tornasol, Katil, and Great Winner. Recently, Spanish Love Affair rolled to an 11-length debut win at Gulfstream, value priced at just $10,000. He has the performance, the pedigree, and the physical. Come see Caraconti at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
46 Solutions makes technology easy. We manage the day-to-day technology needs of Kentucky businesses by offering 24/7 help desk support, infrastructure design, and cybersecurity protection to keep your focus on your business. Our residential engineers can design and install media rooms, home theaters, and make sure your home Wi-Fi network runs smoothly with the best speeds available. Visit 46solutions.com today. 46 Solutions is your technology partner.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence educating and developing industry leaders for over 33 years. Classes are taught by industry experts in the state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Penna, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
This is Wesley Ward on the Conqueror Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, this Tuesday night, 5:30 Eastern, I'll be hosting a panel for the University of Louisville Equine Business Program titled Racing's Now Reality. Is it sustainable? The business model for racing that we're seeing with no fans in attendance. I'm going to get a chance to moderate that panel with Terry Finley from West Point Thoroughbreds, Chris Katulak from Fauner Park, Andrew Offerman from Canterbury, and Jack Jezeroski from Monarch Management, which is a subsidiary of the Stronach Group. We'll get a chance to talk about the environment that we are in horse racing now. Is that model sustainable? 5:30 Eastern. You can tune in on our Facebook page. It'll be available Facebook Live. That's Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Also available on Horse Racing Nation on Facebook, too. So a couple of different ways to watch that. 5:30 Eastern on Tuesday. My thanks to Dan Bork, the Godfather, Tony Attiano, our Industry Star of the Week, Meredith Krupp, Michael Blowen from Old Friends, Arno Delacour, and Jeff Bratt for making this show possible and joining me here this morning. If you missed any portion, it's simple. Head over to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast will be available to listen at your leisure. My thanks to my producer, Lee Delapina, in our Lexington studios, to Chauncey for handling all of our social media here today, and for all of you who took time to weigh in on our poll question about your favorite national day to celebrate. Looks like it's National Red Wine Day. Did get a vote for National Bourbon Day and National Potato Day. How about that? Thanks so much, everybody. We'll talk to you next week, and hey, as always, 1-0, go Steelers.